We'll start. So we saw last week the concept of the three, right? We saw that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with two forces. That's the ribui of the world. That they're basically, in every sense of it, there is always two basic powers. In Chazal, that's called chesed and din, expansion and contraction. And then we spoke that the idea is to create a third force that reunites it. And that's the force of Torah. And that's why Torah is always called the number three, Dorash Hauglilo. Today, Dorash Hauglilo, that person from the Galilee, Darshan, and he said, blessed is the God who gave us triple Torah, Torah Nevim Ksumim, to a triple nation, Kohan Levim Israeli, through a triple person, which is Moshe. Moshe is the third brother, in a triple month, at the third day of Shloshet Ve'Hagbalah. So the idea is, so the number three, because basically there is thesis and antithesis, and there is something called synthesis to put it together. And that is called Tiferet, that's called the Koach of Beauty, that we have to create unity in the world of Ribui. That's what we saw last week. We're going to go into a deeper sense of it today and try to explain it even better. What I think is important to start exactly where we stopped last week, in this Tiferet. This is Sefer Tiferet. Sefer Tiferet was written by the Maral. Maral wrote his forum, basing himself, many of them, on the Yomim Tovim. We don't have one on Sukkot, but he built on Pesach is the Gvurot Hashem, and on Shavuot is the Sefer Tiferet. It's called Tiferet Israel. Why? Because the concept of this third power is called Tiferet. It's called beauty. Because the beauty is always when you have contrasting colors. Right? If you have something which is all the same color, there's no beauty. The beauty is contrast, meaning that's why a great artist is something called grisaille. Grisaille is an art which is all in shades of gray. It's a very hard thing because you have to create contrast. If you don't have contrast, you don't have beauty. So that's why the one, the mida which relates to Torah, it's called Tiferes. The Gemara says, L'chashem ha'gvura, ha'gdula ha'gvura v'tiferes, Chazal si v'tiferet zu matan Torah. Matan Torah is Tiferes. It's the beauty because you'll see that what Torah does, it combines the powers into one. And we're going to soon see what that means. So says the Mara like this. Umash nitna davka b'otu hazman. Why was the Torah given specifically at the time? Velo kodem ze velo achar ze. So the Mara always says that whenever something great happens, it's precise. Could not be any earlier or any later. Dovar ze nitbar lemala. So I explained before. Ki lo ya arushit atin Torah kodem shatsu b'mitzrayim. First of all, you knew that before Yitziat Mitzrayim, we won't go into it. Torah did not belong to the world. Torah only starts belonging to the world after Yitziat Mitzrayim. Okay, that's a separate issue. Achmash nitna b'chodesh ha'shlishit letzed b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. So if the Torah was waiting for Yitziat Mitzrayim, why did you have to wait for the third month? Why didn't you give right away? In Pesach it should have been. Ve'lo kodem tzarich latet am lazeh. So since his whole idea is that Matan Torah was waiting for Yitziat Mitzrayim, give it right away. Omnam hasiba muvuaret gam kelemala. If you realize what we spoke before, you understand. Ki mipnei shaTorah sichlit veina tachat hazman. The Torah doesn't have the concept of zman, of time. And the Maral explains, the word time in Hebrew has two ways of expressing it. It could be called zman, and it could call it. Right? Zman is a word that perhaps is not even Hebrew. Right? Chol et l'chol zman. The question is, the word zman, is it Hebrew? Is a loan word from Persian. Scholars will say that that's zman, zmanam, zmanehem. The Gemara in the Megillah. And the Megillah has many words in Persian. So it could be that that's a Pahlavi word. Because zman is the idea that one time is the linkage of time. Right? That you see, the time in a philosophical sense is that one moment is connected to the next moment. One prepares to the next. It creates a link. Technically, you could have time that was disconnected. So the idea that one prepares for the other is the idea of the time is this continuum, this process, this zman. But Torah is not called. Torah is called it, right? So said, sichlit, yes.
What does that mean?
The Torah is something, Yeshua says, Torah is not something physical. It's something sichlit, is something intellectual, which is not physical. And the Maral's idea is that time is by nature physical. Okay? So nature, why? Because it's a process. Is tachat hazman, anything that goes through the process of time is the process of physical. Just parenthetically, I'll explain to you how the Maral says that. Because we know that the word Bereshit, the Gemara Shana says, is the first mamar, is the first utterance that God created the world, is the word Bereshit. So the Gro already asks, what did the word Bereshit create? So if you look at the word Bereshit, it means in the beginning. So it created the concept of time. So the beginning of the creation of the world is the process of time. Because the idea of time is that everything is like everything was. One, breaking it in pieces. It's time, because then you have the unfolding. The one moment unfolds into the next. You create the ultimate ribui. It's time. So says the Maral, this is the world of physical. So he says like this, Kikvar amarnu, Kibi HaTorah sichlit, V'ina tachat zman ruhi la'ashlishi. Therefore, the number three belongs to Torah, because Torah is intellectual. It's something which is not physical. Kikvar amarnu, ki ha'ita she'eino zman. There is such a thing called ita. Be'itach, you know what's it? It is the present. It's the present. The present is not a time. The present is the connecting between the past and the future. There's no nothing to time. So Torah is it, right? It lasot l'ashem eferu toratecha bechol et yubganech levanim hu shayach dafka l'torah. So he says, u'bipnei ki ha'ita hu ashlishi. Na'ita, we could say ha'ata. The now, the present, is the number three. Ki ha'ata mechaber hazman, because what the ata, the now, connects the time, v'ushlishi. Why? Because the time, there is two processes. There is one process with the past. The past is the ultimate limitation. Because what's done, it's done. The future is the ultimate potential, that you could do anything. There is unlimited potential. So that dialect between Midat HaDin and Midat HaChesed, between limitations, constraints, and potential, is the past and the future. What connects the two? What creates a story between the two? Is the present. So the present is not a time. It's such a connecting moment where the future turns into the past. You take the future into the past. It's the present. And that's the number three. Ulekach b'chodesh ha'shlishi nitnat Torah. That's why the Torah was given in the third month. Because in essence, the number three relates to Torah, which is this moment in time, this process, which is not a real time. It's just connecting past and present, past and future. The number three, because it's the number three, hukmo ha'ata, it's like the now. She'eino zman nechshav, because it's not a time within itself. The Maral is trying to say like this, the number three, it's not an entity of its own. It's the ability to process, to connect the past to the future. Midat ha'chesed midat ha'din. Get connected, become one through the concept of number three. But it's not that number three is an additional thing. It informs the one and the two to become one. And this is the process that we're going to spend time on. The concept of synthesis, that there is between the past and the future, it's not something on its own. It is a way of informing the one and the two. Lekach hu shayach l'Torah, kedichtiv ve'et lekol chefetz. U'mnipnei kach ha'chodesh hazeh bifrat mazot teumim. And therefore, the month, the third month of the year, you know what the zodiac sign is? Twins. Because allow two twins to be together. It allows two brothers, which are very different, to become twins. And that is the power of Torah. To allow the coexistence of opposites. Ki ashlish asheru bin shnayim. The third is between the two. V'hu mechaber ashnayim. What it does, it connects the two. The third is really a synthesis between one and the two. So there is no three. The three is the connection between the one and the two, which is exactly like twins, which is the present. It's not a time. Because it connects to the one and the two. Kasher hu b'neihem, because it's in between. Olekach hashlishi mazalo teomim. And therefore the mazal, the zodiac sign of the Matan Torah are twins. V'roosh dinotem bo ha-Torah. And therefore the Torah was given that month. Ki neshem nechshovim achim kmo teomim. Because he allows two things to be coexist like two brothers, like twins. Udvorim elu amukim ubrurim meoy. This is extremely deep and extremely right. Kasher tovin ki ha-Torah muchan la ha-shlishi. Because the Torah, what is represented, is the number three. Kmo shaya kol hinya natura deshlishi. And therefore, was it the third month? Because the entire Torah represents number three. Kmo shedarasha ugliloi, that person from the Galil. Galil, as we spoke, as Dr. Fine said, Galil in itself is 63. Lamed, lamed, gimel. Kmo shedbele lamalo. Bishvize uv harashlishi leteren sham. That's why the number three connects the Torah. Vekasher yitzu mitzrayim azman zet chilat miyan Yisrael. Therefore, when they started from Egypt, counted, the time started counting. Ve'ein zman mucha nakashlishi. The only time it was right for Torah is the number three, is the third month. That's why the Torah had to be given on the third month. Yes?
First of all, it seems to me that shlishi is a bit arbitrary here. Why wouldn't it be two between one and three, for example?
Absolutely. Great question. Great question. That's the one.
The other thing is just the reference to the mazalot in terms of how much, what we make of that in terms of, other than the fact that it's there.
Chazal understand that the mazalot are the zodiac, the word mazal. Let's talk for a second. What does the word mazal mean? Mazalot means the zodiac in Hebrew. What does mazal?
To flow.
Mazal is the flow. Lashon nozel min alvanon. Because we believe the God's emanations flow through the stars. They flow through there. So the zodiac are the combinations of the stars which represent how God's emanations are flowing in that time. So we do give value to mazal. So, therefore, every single one of them is, quote-unquote, the mystical idea of God's emanations. L'mashal, what is the zodiac sign of Tishrei?
Moznai.
Moznai, right? It's a scale, because that's a day of the scale. What is the zodiac sign of Pesach? It's the Tle. So on and so forth. Every single one of them, the Darshan, and there is. So Chazal understood, Chazal believed that the zodiac, in other words, for you to see the horoscope and to try to see what it means, that's not right. But to know that God's emanations, they flow, they create this zodiac, these formations, and that's where it's coming from, we believe that.
Aren't those of Greek origin anyway?
It is Greek origin, but you see something very interesting. A lot of the Greek originated ideas, Chazal, I won't say the word adopted, but let's say adopted. And the reason is because the Greeks were very close to Chochmah. So they understood Chochmah. And that's something I spoke on Shabbos. And that's something I think that we have to know. Again, this is my belief. What did Torah bring to the world? Before Torah, did we get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Torah? The answer is patently no. Every single person who would look at the world in a very open eyes would see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Dol Dan Hoga. That's why we have such similarities between Eastern religions and our religion. It is fantastic to see. Once I did, because I did comparative religion, right? You look at, we spoke about the Hindu religion.
So the Hindus have the mazalot also?
They have the mazalot. All of them have the same thing.
Yeah.
And they interpret it. They have different things. But it's so similar to ours. Now, Ari Kaplan will say this causality business. It's the 1960s story. The 1960s was that as if you could trace who brought the home, like as if there were some kind of royalties to be paid. And the answer is, who said first? It doesn't make a difference. Because the world is like this. If you look at it, and the Greeks were very close to Chochmah, so they were able to see the world in very similar terms. We have, as an example, right, we have mystics. We have mystics in Islam. The Rabbi Nubachi, if you look at the Chovei Salvoves, he writes in the Hakdama that he was used to consult with the Sufi masters. The Sufi masters are the Islamic mystics. He was used to consult with them. So what does that mean? Because the reality of the world, it is what it is. What is the Chidush HaTorah? Meaning, why do we need Matan Torah? To tell us what the Kodesh Baruch exists? Anybody, Avraham Avinu found out. So this was Sof Shabbos, Chaim. Sof Shabbos, and the Baal HaTanya says, which is the same thing that Rosh Hashanah, the Chidush was that we were able to have a Kodesh Baruch who gave us in the world the ability to do actions in this world, who have the ability to change spiritual, to reach the spiritual. In other words, to allow spiritual flows to cause. In other words, we have the power to change reality. That power, which is Torah, that is the Chiddush HaTorah, that we, if physical action, can move spiritual worlds. What the Baal HaTanya says, that we could have this idea of Shmoy HaGodol, God's name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, that we're going to see that that's the name above creation, that we could create flows in connection with this physical to that spiritual reality. That is the Chiddush Matan Torah. But everything else is not. So the Greeks, just the opposite. Why can't we learn from that? And I think that just the opposite. The mere fact that you see that every single religion says exactly the same thing in their own words, it must be that that's true. I mean, people make up things out of different parts of the world, they come up to the same conclusions. It's very impossible. So you see that they are real ideas. And now, did one learn from the other? Who knows who learned from whom? Right? But you would assume and you would expect them to be the same. That's one of the tainas on Google. Google has the broad brain, right? How to read the Bible is one of the Bible criticisms. You know, probably the book, which has caused a lot of damage for people who cannot deal with the book. And one of the issues, he says, okay, all the stories of the Torah that are in Mesopotamian cultures.
Kugel.
Right. His original name was Kaduri. Yeah. So Kugel and Kaduri is the same.
He's still at Harvard, isn't
he? No, he's at Bar Ilan.
Oh, he's at Bar Ilan now.
He made Aliyah a long time ago. But his book is very damaging. But one of the things he says, okay, the stories of the Gemara is a story of Gilgamesh. So he had the stories. So the Torah like co-opted the stories. And I told him it's just the opposite. Because if those things really happen, you'd expect a lot of people to say about it. If only we made up the story, it wouldn't make any sense. Right? All truths, you'd expect a lot of people to come up with it. Right? I always say every good idea has many fathers. Every bad idea, which is part of the article, if you realize that the last line of the article is that. Then everybody captured the idea because it's a great idea, everybody captured it. If it's a bad idea, nobody captures it. You see what I'm trying to say? So therefore, we took ideas. The Greeks have the same ideas, the mazalot, it is, but we all know the Hindus have the same mazalot, everybody has the same. It's just a truth that's out there.
Why isn't there any record of Matan Torah itself? The Medrash says when Hashem gave the Torah, like the whole world kind of stopped, right? Birds weren't, the dogs weren't barking. How come there's no record anywhere? You would think something like this.
What is the record of Yitzhak Mitzrayim? There is no record. There is like a...
Hieroglyphics? They don't have it over there?
No, they say some hieroglyphics is like, it's trying to, I always say like it's called retrofit. They don't have.
That this, was only in Egypt. Here,
Matan Torah was the whole world. Meaning, and now, again, you could take what I think. I think that if you're going to take the Midrashim, that the whole world knew, etc., on the literal sense, that's not what the Midrash is doing. The Midrash doesn't do the literal sense. It's not that the birds start chirping and there was some kind of a crazy situation and people say, oh my God, what's happening? Spiritually, they start chirping. Essentially. The Medrash never talks, and we're going to learn about it today. We're going to see something amazing today because this is part of what we're going to see, the world of Pshat and the world of Drash. So I think the world of Pshat, who knows what happened? The Torah Shebichtav tells you to say all these Midrashim, that they say this it's like Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Maral says, Paro Melech Mitzrayim, according to Chazal, was a midget. tent for him. And Moshe Rabbeinu was a giant. Okay? You have the power as a little midget. Says the Maharal Chas V'Shalom. No, he's a midget in the spiritual sense, not in the physical sense. Don't take this into literal. If you take this to literalism, that you go and you read as if it was, or this kind of approach, I think is extremely dangerous. And it's not. That's why you don't have a record. That's an old midrashim, if you expect, because otherwise you'd expect. If it was such a miraculous thing, nobody mentions it. That's why I think the concording with the Torah, it's something that drives me crazy. Some people take the Bereishis and they try to connect to some physical phenomenon. We know that Schroeder does that. It's called concording. You're trying to take the physical. And that's a very, very risky thing. First of all, Chazal never did that. And what happens if science changes? You're good to change Torah? So in other words, it's like a very, it's a moving thing. Better to assume what Chazal say, and the Maral Shita always is. Never, ever take a Gadot literally. They're not meant to be literal, and therefore they're not historical, they're not biographical. The people that the Torah, that the Chazal talk about, are not real people, they're archetypes. Archetypes are those ideological figures. So here is also the same. Okay? So that's just parenthetically. Going back, says the Maral, is the number two. Now, why is not the number two? Realize the number three is not the physical number. There are only two numbers. Number one and number two, which is Chesed and Din. Number three is a way of understanding them. The number three is the concept of Das. Chazal say the what we read and we spoke about the Safra Ditznusa, that the third is the scale, which is the Das. Das is the ability to separate and to connect. The word Das has a double meaning. In itself, the word Das has a double meaning. The word Das means separation. The Yerushalmi that says, we say Havdola Bechonin Adas, because Im Ein Das Havdola Minayin, because Das is your ability to discern, to separate. But the word Das also means connection. Ve'adam yada et chava ishto. So Das is that ability to take. So you take, it's a way of informing. And this is the world that we live. The ability that we, with Das, can put two things which are opposites to coexist. And you should know that this is the function of man. The function of man is to create unity in the world of fission, of separation, using his Das. And what Das is the ability to connect. So it's the number three. Why? Because they're one and two, and the three is a cognitive form to bring it together. And that's what the Maharal says. It's like the present. Present doesn't exist. It's the meeting point or the reaching point between the past and the future. Past, you can't change the past. Future is a multitude of possibilities. Chesed and Din. You realize that the past is Din that leads into Chesed. This is, people, the concept of the number three. In Chazal, what is the number three? What is the thing, this concept of Das, is the letter Vav. The word letter Vav. Look at this. Look at it, to understand what, by the way, we have to talk about it today. When we understand the letters, how do we understand what the letters mean? There are three ways of explaining it. You should know the rules of Tzaddik says, if you want to know what a letter means, you have three ways of looking at it. Number one, from how the letter looks like today. Okay, Kisavashori. The number two, how the letter is called, the name of the letter. Number three, the first time the letter appears at the beginning of a shorish in the Torah. Those three. And there is a fourth, which is the numerical value. Okay, so the three rules. How it looks, how it's called, the first time it shows. The letter Vav, it's a line, it's a straight line that connects up to down. The letter Vov. What does Vov mean in Hebrew?
Hook.
What is the first place that the letter Vov is the beginning of a Shoresh?
The heart.
No, that's not. That's a connective point. That's a conjunction. So where is it? Vovim Lamudim. The word Vovim Lamudim. The hooks of the Mishkan. Because what the Vov does, it hooks things together. It puts things together. That's why the Vov is called in Chazal Vov Ha Chibur. That's the one that I have there. The Vov is the letter, is called in Chazal Ois Tikshait. Is the letter of truth. Why is it called the letter of truth in the Zohar? Because truth, what is the definition of truth? We said it's consilience. It's from Aleph to Mem to Taf. It's something that allows you to have continuity, not to stop. So the Vov connects opposites and allows it to be. And that is what the word of the Vov is, the concept of Das, which is the Mechaba, which is the connection between the two that allow the two twins to be together. That is the concept of Vov. Yes. That's exactly why the Vov is of Hipuch. Because the ability to connect opposites, he's the only one that you could turn the past into the future and the future into the past. We know in Hebrew is Vav Hipuch. If you put a Vav before the past, it turns into the future. Like the word Haya is was. If you put a Vav, it says Vehaya, which is to be. The word Iye, okay, Yehi, is to be. Vayehi, it was. Why? Because that's a Vav. That's what the Vav does. This is the beauty of the Vav. By the way, in Chazal, God has, as we spoke, three letters which are unique in God's name. Is Yud, the He, and the Vav. The Yud is that expansion, which is Chesed, because it goes from Yud point to the Vav to the Dalet, expanding, right? Expansion, that's Chesed. He is enclosure. The word He, when you put a He, you limit, you define. That's why the letter He, what is called in the Hebrew grammar, the Hey? Hey, idea. That's it. This is it. Nothing else. You limit. You just put a limit. That's why Chazal say also, when you want to give something to somebody, and you say, I'm giving you this, nothing else, how do you say that in the Gemara of Metzia? Hey, lecho avdavar zeh. This is from you. Right? So that's Midas Adin. That's Midas Adin. And just make sure. Is it recording? No, I thought it was. I don't know. This one's recording, right? So that's the hey. The Vov is the connecting. That's a tiferes. So the Midas Adin, Midas Achesed, Yud, Midas Adin, hey, and Vov is the connecting between the two, putting the two together. But the Vov is Das. It's not that you have a third aspect, that you have two opposites and then you bring a third person to be the umpire. No. Das is an approach, is an attitude. It's the attitude of Das that you have to know how to put things together by separating and putting it together. Let me tell you what is the Soyid HaDovar. Sefer Yetzirah says like this. The word was created B'Sefer, Sefer, B'Sibur. That's how Sefer Yetzirah says. The world was created with a book, and a story. So this is the world, the two. There is a book, and the story. So says the Gro, what does it mean, a book, and a story? What are the two books? So because every book that you write, and listen to this, because this is an amazing Gro. Every book that you write, there is the book of the author. What the author meant when he read the book. Right, that's what he meant. It's called the thorough intent. That's one book. But the same book, once you put it on in writing, it has a life of its own. Now the reader reads the book in his own interpretation, called reader's interpretation. By the way, we know that in American constitutional law, in constitutional interpretation, we know the Supreme Court in the U.S. is always debating of which one dictates, reader's interpretation or author intent. Scalia is author intent, it's called originalism, and other people call, that's not originalism, is formalism, whatever it is, various ways of reader's interpretation. So the world was created with two forms. God has an intent when he created the world, and there always the intent of the people receiving it from the two sides. Right? And the story is how you put the two together. how you weave it together, how you construct it all together. That's the story of the world. And this is the Avodas Adam. Says the Gro, Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim ve'et haaretz. Hashamayim is the spiritual, haaretz is the physical, ve'et, the vav, is Adam, which connects the two together, the physical and the spiritual. And that's the power of Torah, that you could connect the physical and the spiritual so different, that you could coexist them together. And that's the number three, is the coexistence of this idea together. We Jews live in a paradox. We always think that in life is everything black and white. It's not. We are supposed to be constantly merging the black and the white together. We're not supposed to be all spiritual, and we cannot be all physical. We have to weave always spiritual and physical together. The same idea in Torah. I'm going to show you something very cool. You realize that in Torah, when you learn Torah, there is two approaches. And Moshe is not here, but just tell Moshe, because Moshe asked about the concept. I know he told me. There's a concept of drash. You realize that every pasuk, there are two ways of learning. One of them is called the original meaning, and one of them is called applied meaning. What's original meaning? Original meaning is the pshat. The pshat is what the Torah says. It says what it means, like Spinoza used to say. It says what it says. That's it. That's the authorial intent. But on it, we have the ability, because the Torah leaves spaces and leaves contradictions and leaves gaps. It's called the gap writing. It allows for something called the reader's interpretation. And reader's interpretation is something called applied meaning, which is the world of drash. The world of drash is not the world of pshat. And I'm going to show you something very interesting. So the world of drash is not the world of pshat. And our world is to put the two together. The Gro says that in his life, what he wanted to achieve is to be able to put the two together. And in the end of his life, that's what he did. He learned from the Chumash the ability to receive from the Pshat the applied meaning of the Drash. Because this is the two books and the story that puts it together.
Yes.
Soden Remez is a deeper sense of the two. So the Remez is the same. Remez is what's called Pshat, and then there is such a thing called Drash with the Sod. It's just two below two. But that's the idea. This is the world of contradictions, which is the world of seeing and the world of hearing. Reuven and Shimon. The world of seeing is the world that's very constrained and defined, and it is what it is. The world of hearing, each one hears it differently. Each one interprets differently. The world of hearing is a world of connection, right? You connect to something. Shomea Kyoine. Seeing, you are outside. You see something which is there. I mean, you don't connect to the person seeing. You don't have to. Hearing, you have to connect to the person. That's why Shomea Kyoina. There is this idea. These two applied meanings is the world of Pshat and the world of Drash. The world of Pshat, Hashem says what he says, and you have zero input into it. It is what it is. It happened. Like Vayitzias Mitzrayim. Vayitzias Mitzrayim, the world of Pshat, it came out of Mitzrayim, that's the Pshat. The world of Drash is, what does it really mean? What does it really say? What does it mean for me? When I look at Paro, he was a regular guy. But in world of Drash, in my view, he's a midget. He was a spiritual midget. That's the world of Drash. So the world of Drash is the world of reader's interpretation. Right? Because that's why hearing in Chazal, there's always a connection. There is no hearing of the guy saying without the person listening. That's why many halachas is that according to many tanoim, the only time you say something is if you could hear it. If you can hear, you can say. But clearly the one hearing is part of the conversation. Shomea kyoine.
But even that has limitations, like the Yud Gimel Midos. You can't just darshan anything, right? We have parameters, the Yud Gimel Midos, Torah Dreshes.
But it's not only Yud Gimel. You realize that Yud Gimel trenched into 32 of Rabbi Yossi. And there is more. Look at the Malbim in the Hakdoma to Torah Mitzvah. He has like, there is clearly a boundary of time and etc. But that's the idea. That's a reader's interpretation of Esai. That's why you have, according to the Rambam, many mitzvahs, not many mitzvahs, many details of the mitzvah were created by Chazal. Because that's a reader's interpretation.
That's right. Talmud Bavli uses Toshma because there's tremendous elaboration.
Right.
Talmud Yushalmi is Tachazi.
I tell you the truth, I thought it Tachazi, and the truth is not Tachazi, is a mistake. The word, I always thought, and I wrote to my dissertation, and somebody corrected me. What's his name? There is a great book on the Yerushalmi. Great book. And the one who wrote this, what's his name? I just skipped my mind. Moskowitz, Leib Moskowitz. It's a must. If anybody wants to find a book on the Yerushalmi, on all the clothing, is this. This is, there is a book published by, his name is Leib Moskowitz.
In what language?
It's in Hebrew. But there is an expert, and he goes into this mistake, the Tachazi is not. He says the Tachazi is in one or two places. He says, I won't go into it. But I did it, I wrote that on the footnote, and the person who was I had somebody who actually checked my stuff, and he says, look at Leib Moskowitz. And I looked at it, he's 100% right. Okay, so, this is a mistake. But the Zohar does say the Tachazi, yeah?
Something that's a merger of what the two intentions
are. That's exactly right. Excellent. Orim et HaKolot is exactly that merge that Torah comes. That's the number three that I just told you. That reader's interpretation and what's given happen to be one. And that is something called the mystical experience. Therefore, don't ever tell me the Torah was like... If people think that Matan Torah was some kind of a performance... It's not a performance. Orim et HaKolot. Orim et HaKolot is exactly this dialectic. The Kolot, which is this dialectics, versus the Pshat, they merged, and that's only possible in a mystical experience. And that's the beauty of Torah, that you could get that matzav that you see the both together. And this is the reader's interpretation, the world of Drash and the world of Pshat. That's why the Maharal will say like this, the fact that something is written in Torah, let's say Olam Haba. Olam Haba, he can't describe in Torah Shebe Ketav. It's not something in the Pshat. And it's something that the idea evolved over time. And that's in Torah Shebe'al Peh. That's the axial age. And I saw that Shlomo Fischer clearly says that. The Olam Haba was at some point in time doing until the axial age. It was the axial age. Let me explain to you something interesting. This duality of the world that become merged together, is this duality is always the case. There is the world of Torah Shebichtav, which is the world that comes from above. One comes out like this, comes out that there is one idea that comes from above and one reality that comes from below. And the merge between the two is what's called the mystical Orim et HaKolot, which is the Torah. There is always one from up below. It's called Teruta Delatata. It's called the awakening of below and the awakening of above. That's why there are two Batei Mikdash. One of them was from above. First Batei Mikdash. We know nothing about it. Zero. Zippo. How much literary production by us? Almost zero. There are Nevi'im. For these hundreds of years, there was so little written, so little that we know, because Hashem came to us. Then there is the axial age, that this is not only our religion, the whole world went backwards, which means it flipped. The axis of the world changed. Before it was coming down, and now it's going up. In every religion, it happened. And that was the idea of reinterpreting and the ability of humans to rise above. It's not Torah coming down, it's human rising above. That's the Torah Shebaal Peh, that's the second Beit HaMikdash. The second Beit HaMikdash, right? The second Beit HaMikdash is this idea, the proliferation idea, like the Rambam says, Rabu Adeot, meaning there's so many different ideas. Let's talk about Rudy's interpretation. There's so many interpretations. If anybody sees, that's the beauty of the second Beit HaMikdash. That's exactly the axial age. It's not only by us, in every religion. Anybody looks at the Vedas, they got to reinterpret too with the Upanishads, but the Buddha comes to reinterpret. Also different views of reinterpreting the same traditions. Okay? That is called the axial age. Olam Haba is the same thing. Olam Haba in the beginning, according to Shlomo Fischer, he also says that was an idea kept by very few people. Most people did not know it because they couldn't relate. I told you, they were not going up, they were not transcendence. This was the world of coming down. So the Olam Haba was, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, the Perek is the beginning of the third Sefer, which is Ein Gimel. Ad avon Mikdash Shekel Avina Lachritam. The Pasuk says, until I come to the Mikdash, David HaMelech says, I will know what will happen at the end. So that's why when Olam Haba comes, the second Beis HaMikdash becomes like a very big controversy because most people never heard about it. So this idea is the same. That's why it's in Torah Shebaal Peh, not on Torah Shebektav. This idea, Rav Shlomo Fischer always says, this beautiful idea. Let me show you how you see that. There are many places that there is a difference between the Kri and the Chativ. The way how the Torah writes a word and the way how you read the word. And that sometimes there is a contradiction because how you read it and how you write it. The word velo. Velo with a vav means to you. The word with an aleph means not. It means exactly the opposite. And the question is that many times that the contradiction makes no sense. The Mizmor Torah, velo anachnu amu. Velo anachnu, the simple writing is to we are not. And we change and say we belong to him. Velo anachnu amo etzot marito. L'mashal, another one by Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim says in the Pasuk, Yamim yutzaru, many days will create, velo echad bayam, and not one of them is anything. Right? That's a Pasuk Pshat. Chazal changed and he said you have to read the word velo with a vav. And say, Yamim Yutzaru, many days are created, velo, and to him, to Hashem, Echad Mem, one day belongs, that's Yom HaKippurim. So what the Pasuk says, lo, not one of them, and the Pasuk says, we change to velo with above. So Rav Shlomo Fischer says, if you look at it, there's one place that the Gemara asks this contradiction. It says, by Bate Arechoyma, by a city that has a wall. Bate Arechoyma, it says, Ubayit Beir Asher Lochoma. A house in a city that doesn't have a wall. It says with an aleph, velo choma. Chazal tell you that you should read with a vav. It's a house in a city that has a wall. That's Bate Arechoyma. So Chazal says that doesn't make any sense. The Pasuk says it doesn't have a wall. And then it says that he does have a wall. How can it be? So the Gemara says, the Gemara Megillah says, so tell you that even though it doesn't have now, as long as it once had a wall, it's okay. Question is, what kind of a pshat is that? What kind of a compromise is that? So says Shlomo Fischer, this is exactly the Maral. Chazal is saying like this, in the world you see a wall that physically doesn't exist. Because it's velo with an aleph. In Torah Shebaal Peh, if you look in the world of research, in the world of finding, in the world of meaning, it does have a wall. How is that possible? That in the world of physical it doesn't have. And the world of Torah Shebaal Peh does have, is a city that had a wall and it doesn't have anymore today. So now you have to research, did he have a wall, didn't have a wall, it's finding, it depends on your finding. And it is irrelevant if it had a wall, if it didn't have a wall. If your research, you came up that it had a wall, it has a wall. So therefore, in Torah Shebichtav, it says velo with an aleph. Torah Shebaal Peh, it says velo with a vav. Because in your constructed history, it has a wall. The same thing Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, if you look in the world of physical, is there any difference between Yom Kippur and everybody else, and every other day? The only difference is Yom Kippur, maybe the traffic is lighter, and maybe the Wall Street is quieter. But that's it. There's no difference. But if you look in the world of meaning, if you look and you search for it, Yom Kippur will be very different. That's why Torah Shebichtav, it says, Velo Echad Bahem, there is not one day that belongs to Hashem, the law with an aleph, the law with a vav, it does have belong to Hashem. Because that's the world of meaning, of applied meaning. Mizmor Letoda. Mizmor Letoda, Chazal say, let's talk about Bai Sheni. Bai Sheni, if you looked in the just what happened. It shows that we don't belong to Hashem. Why? Because we didn't get, Hashem didn't come to us. It was the Persian king's courage gave us permission. Akate avde hachashvir shanan. But if you look in the world of meaning, you realize there's so many miracles, you could apply meaning and see so much into it. Therefore, in the word velo anachnu, in Torah Shebichtav means we don't belong to Hashem, we belong actually to Koresh. In the world of Torah Shebalpeh, we do belong to Hashem. This combination, Remes HaKoelos, is the power of Torah. The combination between the world of Pshat and the world of Drash. The world of original meaning and the world of applied meaning. And the applied meaning is our ability to connect, is the Torah of hearing, that we are parts, we are creating the Torah. We are really partners in the Torah. On Torah Shebaal Peh, we are partners. It's like hearing, Shomea Keoina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Oine Kenegdo. Torah Shebichtav, it is what it is. That's the word of applied meaning. I always say like this, the Chazon Ish wants to write that the Shiurim are much bigger. So when he says kabeya, when he says the size of an egg, is double the size of an egg. When the size of an olive is the size of an egg. So he says, how is it possible? So says Chazon Ish, because the Shiurim today shrunk from 2,000 years ago. Do you think Chazon Ish ever went to archaeology to see if that's the case? If you went to see in archaeology, that never happened, for sure not. What, they all shrunk? What, honey shrunk the kids? And it didn't happen. But the Chazon Ish says, in the world of meaning, when you learn the sugyas, it gives the impression that things have changed. So in the constructed history, it changed. That's the world of applied meaning. The same way you look for a city that had a wall. If the Gemara is mashmad, it had a wall, it doesn't matter in history if he had or didn't have. Like you're saying, in the world of meaning, we are saying that the world stopped. 1 second, look at it. There's not one record the world stopped, not in Torah. But it's in the world of Drash. The world of Drash is the world of applied meaning. That's the beauty, is it constructed. By the way, I'm going to use Yosef Yerushalmi. Yosef Yerushalmi was the professor, you know who he was? He was a professor, the celebrated professor of Jewish history at Columbia University. So he taught, I went to his class, it was a very interesting class, he's a real historian. And he wrote a book, which was his magnum opus, called Zachor. And he comes to define the difference between history and memory. History is like the raw, cold facts. You look at it, the Baal Shem Tov. Did he exist or not? You go ahead and you go to Poland and you find that he actually had an electric bill in his name. He didn't have an electric bill, but they found that he had actually in the city of, in some city in Poland, they had a record of Rebsur Baal Shem Tov. So he exists. But that's the raw history. The world of memory is a constructed history. Who cares if it did happen? In the world of Drash, it did happen. We live in the world of memory. We don't give any value to the world of history.
Doesn't memory have to be consistent with history?
With the historical record? It cannot be a contradiction.
If it's a clear contradiction.
So the Maral says it could be in contradiction, because Chazal could be talking about not the physical sense, but the essential sense. Lemoshal. In Klal Yisro, in Yetzias Mitzrayim, in Matan Torah, the whole world stopped. The birds started shrieking. Is it that in the physical sense it was some kind of a froze, the world froze, and there was not a one record, somebody who says that? No, because in the essential term, the birds might be flying, but in essence, they were quiet. That's the beauty of the world. The Maral says the same idea. The Maral is very consistent everywhere. It says by this week's Parsha, it says by Batya Venarotea Olchot Aladayor, that her servants were walking next to the river from Batya. Remember? So what Chazal say in the Gemara? Chazal said in the Gemara that they were dying, Olchot Lamut, they were dying. Says the Maral, what do you think? That they were walking and falling dead? And Batya doesn't stop. He said, what my heck is happening? He says, because they weren't dying. They were in the spiritual sense dying. But the physical sense, no. The world of memory, the world of essence, of reality, that might not be true in the world of visual. It's the world of constructed meaning. And that is what the Maral always says. When the Gemara says that in Tur Malka, there were billions of people killed at Tav de Churban, when the world population was maybe 200 million. And in one mountain, you had billions of people. How is that possible? He said, because we're not talking about physical people. We're talking, in essence, the power and the spiritual power of these people over the billions of people. That's the idea of constructed meaning. That's constructed, that's memory. So does memory have to fit with the record? The answer is simply no. When we look at Turmalka, we see that this is the destruction of billions of people. Even though physical people, they were not billions of people, but these people were, in our eyes, billions of people. That's the beauty of constructed meaning. The Moshe, the Chazon Ish says, we learn the sugya, and the Gemara gives you an image that the eggs were much bigger at that time. Why? Because if you look at the Gemara and you try to reconstruct and know the ratios, that's what's mashma. That's the world that we see. Ah, it didn't happen. That's the image we construct. It's constructed meaning. Because we believe all life is constructed.
The Meiri says in a sugya in Chulin about kosher fish, that he says, but our senses tell us that it's different. And the Meiri says you have to follow what your senses tell you.
Right. For halacha, that's the case. For halacha, that's true. Because the Torah says, from halacha, is even more. What happens if your senses tell you X, and you know that in reality it's A? In other words, spontaneous, what you call, generation. It says the Rambam, if you look at something, little bugs, that they look and they appear to be born out of nothing, you don't have to be afraid because they're spontaneous generation. One second, if you take a microscope, you say, that's not spontaneous, there's no spontaneous, there's no such a thing. If you look at the microscope, says, everybody says that, then this is already, in Aloha, Kodesh Bohu gave to us the tools for Aloha that we live by them, because it's all constructed. So if it appears to us that this thing is spontaneous generation, in halacha, it has a view, even though in reality it's not. We don't care about reality. Because that's the world of Drash. The world of Drash is that we are partners with the Torah. It's not the Torah that God gave us, and we just have to find out. We are partners. So if from our view and our construction is spontaneous, it's spontaneous. Now the question is, if we have today the tools to know that's not, did it change for us because the generation? That's machlok zaposkim. That's a big machlok zaposkim.
Like the microscopic bugs that you can't see with your eye, but you see people taking magnifying glasses.
So Ravaya, which is the biggest expert in bugs, is a Brazilian guy, he's the bug expert. He says the halacha is that you don't have to. Those bugs are independent. Now, the reason why we take a loop is because people are not careful enough. But if you are, like an esrog, to look an esrog with a loop, with a magnifying glass, it's preposterous. Now, some people argue and say, if Hashem gave us, today we change. But this is our partnership with Torah. So this is the Torah of Drash, the Torah of hearing, that we are part of the conversation. The conversation, there's no like absolute conversation, we are part of that conversation. And therefore the Torah evolves with the time, because the recipients are different, so that conversation changes. The Torah of, and halacha, what drives halacha, is never the pshat. What drives the halacha is always what? The drash, not the pshat. We don't pass on the pshat. Ayin tachasayin. And that's what the Rambam says. Ayin tachasayin. You're right. The world of drash is not. That's the beauty. That's where we are part of the Torah. And the chidush is by Matan Torah that we saw that the world of applied meaning, the world of original meaning is one, because that's the power of Torah. We're going to see Mat Hashem. And then see, in 2 weeks I'm not going to be here. So if you guys know, we could do it in 3 weeks. So next week we don't have, because I'm not going to be here. Also in 2 weeks I'm not going to be here either. So in three, it's a holiday, right? It's Matmut again. Right? So in 3 weeks, the week after Matmut, we're going to see so many other examples. But once you understand this, you realize the fascination of the world that we live in, this world of these paradoxes that the Torah puts it together. So it's not number three. It's not that you have two opposites and you put something in between to create some kind of a pshara, some kind of a reconciliation, some kind of a compromise. No, we live in a world that we have to live the two together. The two coexist. They are twins. They are connected. And that's the beauty. Like Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. It's not that we have some kind of a compromise. We'll do Olam Hazeh today, Olam Haba tomorrow. Our Olam Hazeh is Olam Habadik. And our Olam Haba comes through Olam Hazeh. That merge of opposites, what the Jews are. So we live in this dilemma. And this dilemma is the power of Torah that was given to us, and that is the Chiddush of Torah. If you want to know why did we need Matan Torah, for this specifically, to coexist the two together. Because to know that Hashem exists in the reality of the world, we would have known anyway, like the Hindus know. That's why for the Hindus and for the other religions, they have to make a choice. Either here or they go there. And that's what the Buddha was very, very much in problems with, because he saw that there were such a thing in the Hindus called the Arhats. I'm not sure if you met the Arhats. The Arhats are people who are ascetics, that they decide to leave Olam Hazeh and to go into Olam Haba. The Buddha's very, very, quote-unquote, taken by it, because people die. And he said that the Arhat world is afterwards. You have to leave. But this reconciliation of the opposites is what they cannot be. So that's why those religions are different. And that's the Chiddush Matan Torah.
The concept of the shlishi, when it comes, is it something that is a third independent thing that puts the other two together and says one is right and one is wrong?
No. Vechen shnik suvim, that's the word of, he realized that it's the word of Echad. Vechen shnik suvim amakhishim ze is ad sheyova kosev. The only makhishim until hakosev shlishi, which is yachriya b'neim. So it's not that you have two, and then it's yachriya b'neim. It's ad sheyovoi hakosev shlishi. Because once the kosev shlishi comes, they're not opposites anymore. They're machriya b'neim. And that's the power of Torah, and that's the chiddush matan Torah.
But again, there have to be limits. I mean, the fact that we are partners, but we create a story, a narrative, an understanding of the world, anybody can do that.
So how isn't that different than deconstructionism? You're going to me ask, there is such a thing called Derrida. Anybody who knows Derrida? Derrida is a deconstructionist. Why is this deconstruction? Why is this in reform? Chazal say, in Chazal, I'm going to show you, the truth is, even today, there are two controls. What's right interpretation, what's wrong interpretation? What's made up? Paul, right? Paul from Jesus, he wrote his midrashim. So his midrashim were not true. How do you know what's real midrash, what's not real midrash? There are two rules, and I'm going to tell you afterwards, and you see how this will fit all together, these rules. There are two rules. One rule is called communal acceptance. Klal Yisrael, as Klal Yisrael, has to accept, and these are only people who want to do what's right. There is this mega Klal Yisrael is always able to take the right things. I tied it to some this week, you know, with Rav Shimshul for Hirsch. Was Yahweh Rosh or not? People debate you the end. In the end, you realize that Breuers doesn't exist anymore. So by nature, it was Yahweh Rosh. Right? HaKadosh Baruch in life, HaKadosh Baruch allows it. Truth gets accepted in Klal Yisrael in a way that you don't even understand it. The Hasidim and the Misnag, they were fighting, in the end, both were accepted. Rabbi Yonah son Eibshitz and Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, the biggest machloikis in Klal Yisrael. In the end, both were accepted.
What was Yahweh Rosh on Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz?
You know, not with Derech Eretz. No, the Yekesh Derech. The Yekesh Derech. The Yekesh Derech, the Breuer ceased to exist. That's the reality of it. Now, is it wrong? Is it also Yahweh Rosh? Because Torah Umada changed. A lot of it changed. But it's not the same as before, meaning that's the idea. The mindset was, you look at history. History allows, so that's number one. It's called communal acceptance. By the way, for the Constitution is the same thing. There is somebody who is fairly close to Stanley Fish. Stanley Fish wrote a book called Is There a Book in This Class? And this is the famous one who says, because all the people who, let's say Scalia, said if it's in a reader's interpretation, anybody can interpret anything they want. So how can you have a constitution that binds? He has been lately, right? So he says has to be accepted by the community of scholars. People who are bound, two things. People who are bound by the constitution. People who understand the constitution, they have to accept when it's community acceptance. By Klal Yisrael, it's like this. The one who says this rule is Rav Kook. If you want to see, we see Rav Kook Mishpat Kohen in That's what he says. The books which are accepted are the books that Klal Yisrael accepts. And that's why the Aloch in the Ramah, says that you could argue with any book that was no communal acceptance. If there's a communal acceptance, that's it. The Gros says the real benchmark is what's called Gadamer's, a rule is that there is consistency. The only time that there is something which is true real interpretation is the word of emes. It means that everything's consistent. If you see something that you keep constantly having to change because you find problems, and you close a hole here and a close there, you realize that that's not emes, and you cannot assume that drash. Drash means to say, I told you about Rabbi Yosef Engel. Rabbi Yosef Engel wrote a famous sefer called Ner Lishmonim. Ner Lishmonim is 80 terutzim on Beis Yosef's kasha on Chanukah. So they show the sefer to Yitzchok Isaac Halevi. Yitzchok Isaac Halevi says, "What that's a kunst to have a sefer that ends to that has 80 terutzim to a kasha. I want to find one terutz that answers 80 kashas. That is something, because then is truth. Truth is something that grows on you, and that is the definition of emes drash. Is that kind of drash." That the idea is that, so that's why the Gross says, in the Reb Chaim Volozher, in the Hakdoma to Safra Ditznusa, which is printed in the Nefesh HaChaim, says the Gross only changed because the Gross did a lot of corrections. You know, the Gagot HaGrah, the Gross took Kol HaTorah and he cleaned up the text. And he didn't have any. And the truth is, we don't have any reason to believe that he went to search for libraries for original manuscripts. Spiegel, in this film, there is a famous book by Spiegel called Mudim Besefer Ivri. He talks about all the people who did Agrot. He's the best. The two volumes which are must. People who did. The Marshall did Agrot. The Bach did Agrot. Where did they get it from? Etc. The Gro, we don't know. Pavlovich says he only did it because if he saw something that by changing it made it consistent with Kol HaTorah Kula, including Kabbalah, he realized that this is something that could be changed. So the Gros was a believer of this unity of the text. It's called the unity. Gadamer says, real interpretation allows for the unity of the text, the elegance of the text. So those are the two that allow interpretation not to be free for all. Okay, guys, have a great one.